Welcome to Light Talk, a podcast series exclusively for members of the American Society for Laser Medicine and Surgery. Light Talk supports the mission of ASLMS, which is to promote excellence in patient care by advancing biomedical application of lasers and other energy-based technologies worldwide. We hope you enjoy this edition of Light Talk with our host, Dr. Utpal Patel.
Dr. Alster, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you here. You're clearly one of the world-renowned laser technologists in the world, so thank you for being with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Dr. Patel.
Although most of our audience knows you, can you please give a little bit of a brief introduction on yourself?
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Tina Alster. I'm the director of the Washington Institute of Dermatologic Laser Surgery in Washington, D.C., which I founded 25 years ago. I'm also clinical professor of dermatology at Georgetown.
Wonderful. Throughout your journey, you've been very successful at bringing clinical practice and combining laser technology into it. How have you been able to do that?
Well, it's funny, at this particular meeting, the ASLMS annual meeting, I talked about how I successfully combined my clinical practice with research, and this has been going on for 25 years. I finished my fellowship, which is a one-year fellowship in Boston in 1990, after which time I wrote my boards, because I did my fellowship in lieu of my last year of training, which was a very special request, but I was able to get that done, and right after passing my boards, I opened the Washington Institute of Dermatologic Laser Surgery, which is a very long name for what was essentially a practice with one laser, and at that time it was the pulse dye laser, which has been my not only oldest laser, which has been through many revisions and updates, but also my most useful laser. There have been many lasers and devices that have come and gone over the last 25 years, but that was the one that I actually had to use my car as collateral in order to secure a loan to get that laser. It's been my most trustworthy laser through the years, and I virtually use that probably more than any other laser every day of my working career. You asked about research, which was something that I always felt strongly about. Doing a fellowship obviously introduced me or substantiated prior research that I had done, and I certainly understand the scientific method, and I thought it was important to continue with that. My research studies during the course of my fellowship centered around laser scar revision, another topic about which I spoke during this meeting. And so I kind of used that as my base, and started branching out for treatment of other things, which we can discuss in a little bit.
Well, you mentioned scars, and you're probably the expert in the world about scar revisions and using lasers and lights to do that. If you can share us what you use and what are some of the new things that we should look forward to.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, back in 1989-90, when I did my fellowship, I kind of fell into this scar revision thing. I was always interested in wound healing and had worked as a medical student with Dr. Sheldon Pennell down at Duke, working with wounds. But it was parlayed into my fellowship because I was dealing with Port Weinstein patients who had received prior argon laser treatments that had left some fibrosis, which at that time was considered clinical lightening, but we term fibrosis or scarring now. And so a lot of these people had then come in for treatment of the residual port wine stains with a pulse dye laser. And they all said, oh, my scars are getting better. This area feels a lot better. And there are several people with quite distinct scars. And those scars definitely did, took me a while to understand this and to appreciate it myself, were softer and more pliable. They became the ones that are a little bit red or even white, just looked more normal in appearance. The texture looked better. So I formulated a study at that time, just using the pulse dye laser at 6 to 8 week intervals, and studied obviously not just the clinical characteristics, but histopathologically and skin surface texture markings, pliability measurements, etc., to show that those scars within those Port Weinstein birthmarks got better, which you know can't just be explained by eradication of the blood vessels in those scars. There's probably a lot of other factors at stake here, and I think of it as just kind of righting the wound healing pathway, putting everybody back on the right track. Over the years, then we went and did studies in my office, treating anywhere between 16 and 30 patients at a time, bisecting large scars or using matched pair scars to deal with different types of scars, whether they are surgical or traumatic scars from burns, whether they were acne scars, and then trying to figure out whether combination treatments were could do any better, and that would include, obviously, intralesional Kenalog. And in that case, we published a study where, indeed, the pulse dye laser did every bit as well well in terms of improving scars is adding the steroids. The only time the steroids really helped was when people were continuing to grow scars. But that's not the majority of people. Most of the people did very well with just the pulse dye laser alone. And more recently, in fact, what's coming out shortly in the derm surgery literature is comparing two different lasers for these types of scars, which are the PDL versus the KTP, which is a 532 nanometer wavelength, to see whether or not there are any discernible differences in the way that they treated scars. And both of them worked well. The PDL may have caused a little bit more bruising. The KTP was associated with a little bit more discomfort. But clinically, there was no discernible difference in the way that they treated scars. I, however, have a high likability towards the PDL since it's been my friend for so long. So I tend to grab that first. We now mix and match other types of lasers with the PDL. So we'll use the pulse dye laser with a non-ablative fractionated device, not just the PDL for the red and improvement, but then the non-ablative fractionated laser to kind of smooth things out even further, or even an ablative fractional laser at the same time to further improve the scars. You have to be a little bit more careful with the ablative fractionated lasers, though, just because it is more prolonged wound healing. And last but not least, one thing that I've actually been embracing more recently, and this is funny talking about this at a laser meeting, is using microneedling, which is an age-old and kind of, I used to always think, a barbaric way to treat skin, but there are newer devices now that are automatic, where you can treat with 2.5 millimeter depth needles to for lack of a better word, till the land. Mm-hmm. And so by basically introducing these micro injuries into the skin without heat, like the laser does, you can improve the texture of the skin. This is deep wrinkles or pores or scars, have actually an improved recovery rate, less redness, and so people can get back to work a little bit more quickly. So here I am using microneedling now on a daily basis.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. You know, we usually think of the PDL and you, and now we think of microneedling. That's something we definitely want to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot easier for people to acquire a microneedling device than a laser device.
Oh, that maybe makes it more accessible for many of our members. That
absolutely.
May start out with that. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for taking a few minutes and sharing some time with us. We look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Patel.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Light Talk, a podcast series from the American Society for Laser Medicine and Surgery. Visit aslms.org for updated podcast releases and current member information.